Leute.
And welcome to another edition of the Ted Brower Show with my co-host Austin Brower, my son and my partner in this endeavor as far as trying to get the word out and the news out. I hope you guys enjoyed the show that we did yesterday. We went into detail on what happened with the Supreme Court Justice Scalia, who was shot or something. Oh, that's Freudian slip. There's a gun out there that actually fires darts, and it was actually released. One of the CIA guys actually talked about this in front of Congress. Way back in the 80s, maybe in the 70s. This is old technology that fired a lethal poison into people and then would dissipate, leaving no trace. And what would happen is that person would die within minutes, and there was no way they could test it with an autopsy. This has been around for 30, 40 years. I was just reading an article on that, so I guess I may have a little Freudian slipped on that. So there you go. Well, Austin, how are you doing today?
Doing good, bud. Staying busy here, and just had one of my buddies over here that buys guns all the time, so I was talking about some stuff with him and lost track of time, and then the show called up, so I'm here and I'm ready to go now.
Here's the scripture verse for the day. It's going to be in Hebrews, and it's going to be Hebrews 10:26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of 2 to 3 witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, the reason I read that today is this. What we have to do is this. We have to do the best we possibly can, because we're connected to God in his dimension through the Holy Spirit. We're bound and we're sealed with him for the day of redemption. And we can fall away. I believe this, even though I'm a Baptist. I'm not supposed to say this on the air, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I believe that if you turn away from God, like Hebrews 10:26 and also Hebrews 6 says, and you start acting and doing and being a complete and total heathen, that you're treating and insulting the Holy Spirit. I think we need to do the best we can, be quick to confess our sins. I mean, you know, even the Bible says that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Sometimes it's just easier to be nice to people. Sometimes you can't be nice, but most of the time you got to try to be nice. And so the reality is, let's do the best we can on a day-to-day basis as Christians, and then Hebrews 10:26 doesn't kick in. But I really believe that we need to be obedient to what the Word of God says, and we need to do what the Word of God says on an ongoing basis, and we don't need to be judging one another. If a brother repents, he's quick to repent, as Matthew 18 says we should do. If you go to him and he repents, and he confesses his sin and says, "Hey, look, I messed up," that should be the end of it. It should be dropped and be done. If that doesn't work, you can take 2 or 3 witnesses. But what's interesting, this is interesting to me, I've been in situations before where I've made a mistake and I've repented, and the person who was the accuser came to me, and that wasn't good enough, and then that person would go to my friends and start saying things about me, and then my friends would say, "Look, you need to shut up and let this go. You're being ridiculous. You're not doing what Matthew 18 says to the person who's accusing me." But that's not enough. Then they've got to go out and start saying more and more and more. See, that's not what we're called to as the body of Christ. We're not supposed to do that. If we mess up and we're quick to confess, and we ask God to forgive us, and we ask the person we offended to forgive us, that's the end of it. It should be as far as the east is from the west, with no ripples. Remember years ago, I made a mistake and I said something to somebody. It was the truth was said to the person who I talked to, but it was done harshly. And I apologized to them for being harsh, and they said, "That doesn't matter. We that's fine that you've asked us to forgive you. We're good with that, but you've created ripples that'll never go away." And I'm like, well, that didn't really sound like a Christian way of looking at things. So the truth is this. God has come into the world. He's brought the light, but the world has preferred the darkness. And see, that's what Jesus told us, and that's the truth. We always have to remember that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we have to do what He does, and we have to do what He wants us to do, and we have to do what pleases Him. And it says if we want to do what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to act and do as Jesus did, and that's the best thing we're ever going to try. At least try to emulate that to the best of our abilities, and then God is just and quick, and He supports us, and He takes care of us, and He gives us part of His omniscience, part of His omnipresence, part of His omnipotence in the 13th dimension. And He allows us to control the physical reality that's around us. That's why Jesus said, ask as if you have already received it, and it shall be given unto you. Ask whatever you want in My name, and it shall be given unto you. See, the thing about it is, remember, guys, when we pray and we do what God wants us to do, we're blessed. That's why I put together that tape series, Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And one of the key things I tell you in that tape series is this, or it's a CD series now, is if you owe somebody money and you choose not to pay them, but yet you're believing God to give you more for your life and more stuff for you to personally have, why is He going to do that when you don't even pay the people that you owe the money to? It's no good. It's a bad, bad, bad witness. And we shouldn't be buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know anyhow. Because when we do that, it ends up being we put ourselves in a situation we get all stressed out and we can't pay our bills. What's your first story of the day, Oz?
Well, this one's pretty interesting. Back, in 2011, there was that whole case up there that we heard about with another raw milk in Elkin County, which is in Indiana. And federal agents basically subjected a farmer to massive harassment, warrantless searches repeatedly for producing raw milk. But recently now, the local county sheriff has taken the farmer's side and blocked federal agents from the property, and now the sheriff is speaking out. The FDA and the DOJ took actions 4 years ago simply because the farmer was providing raw milk to an organic food co-op. And now we've talked about raw milk repeatedly on the show before, and there's an article you can read on our website that discusses in detail what happens to milk when you pasteurize it and when you homogenize it, and you basically decrease a whole lot of enzymes in it that make it be able to be bioavailable, a whole lot of issues. If you want to read it, it's on our website at healthmasters.com. But he basically got involved, and he said it appears to be straight harassment by the FDA and DOJ and making unconstitutional searches, in my opinion, says Sheriff Rogers. Specifically, the FDA was inspecting his farm without a warrant as much as every 2 weeks, and this continued to go on as far as when he was discussing this, and now he's written a letter to the Department of Justice. He states, I understand that you have made recent requests to the farmer for documents and to appear before a grand jury, and he has had a number of inspections and attempted inspections on his farm within Elkhart County. This is a notice that any further attempts to inspect this farm without a warrant signed by a judge based on probable cause will result in federal inspectors' removal or arrest for trespassing by my officers or I. In addition, if any further action is taken by the federal government on the farmer while he in the Elkhart County, I will expect that you or the federal authorities contact my office prior to such action. I will expect you to forward this information to any federal associate. And where I said the farmer in there, that was the guy's name. That's been redacted because they weren't showing all that in the paper. But this is interesting. This is really cool. And this is, again, why we constantly reiterate that you need to know your local sheriff. You need to know your local law enforcement, because this guy has his back right now. That's a very, very direct statement to federal authorities about this. And he's dead on. I mean, there's complete and total harassment for selling raw milk. Last time I checked, this is America. If we want to drink raw milk, we can drink raw milk. If you want to go down to the store and go buy a handle of Jack Daniels and drink yourself into a coma, you can legally go do so as long as you don't drive. So I don't understand why they always want to prohibit people from drinking raw milk unless you understand how beneficial and healthy raw milk is compared to store-bought milk. What do you think about that?
Well, again, you have to check your state laws and be careful. I mean, I don't think if you own your own cow or your own goat and you're milking and you're drinking the milk, I don't think there ever is going to be an issue. The problem is that they're concerned about diseases being passed by infected udders. And this was passed way, 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 way back when they were thinking that tuberculosis and other kind of diseases were being spread by raw milk. And so that's why they passed all this. But the problem is when you pasteurize the milk, you destroy the enzyme phosphatase, which allows your body to absorb the calcium from the milk. So it's pretty much useless after that. And so you're getting a bunch of calories, but you really can't absorb the calcium properly. Gosh, I learned that 36 years ago. And so it's just one of those things. I mean, if you're going to drink raw milk, keep it on the low side if you're going to be doing it. Make sure you know the dairy. Make sure it's state certified, because in some states it's still legal to drink raw milk. But I know that it's some of the best thing. Goat's milk, some of the best milk you can drink. It's an orphan's milk for mammals, and it works really good for pretty much any mammal. Here's an interesting article from Blacklisted News. I don't know if you saw this one or not, Austin. It just came out today. It said the police shoot a suicidal dad 11 times while he was laying in bed crying.
Wow.
I mean, why we've reported before on how calling the police for help these days in the modern America police state usually ends up with less help and more death, pets included. This time the woman was actually calling for an ambulance and not the cops, but since all first response is now integrated, the cops are sent anyway. This is from the Charleston Gazette Mall reports that Donna Spry called her husband's doctor crying. Curly Spry was refusing to go to his appointment. He was suicidal, off his meds, and had a gun, his wife said. Call 911. The doctor's staff instructed her. Less than an hour later, Curly Spry was dead. He'd been shot 11 times by troopers with the West Virginia State Police, according to a lawsuit filed by Donna Spry last month in Kiwama County Circuit Court. The family is suing for $11 million, but their attorney told the Gazette Mall that the insurance only covers $1 million. Suicidal Curly Spry was delusional and crying and laying in bed. His wife and 17-year-old daughter were reportedly standing by his bedside when the police shot him 11 times. I'm going to repeat that. His wife and his 17-year-old daughter were standing by his bedside when the state police shot him 11 times. The Spry's alleged troopers came into the house without permission. They were wearing full tactical gear, had weapons in their hand, and they entered, according to the complaint. Spry's wife claimed that she was on the phone with 911 when they killed her husband, and a trooper made her hang up afterwards. Of course, the woman said the man pointed the gun at them while he was laying on the bed. This is the husband. Of course, the police said the man who was crying while he was on the bed pointed the gun at them while he was laying there crying, and while they were wearing full tactical gear, including bulletproof body armor, so they just had to shoot a weeping suicidal man 11 times while he was lying in bed. Then this article says, I guess Mr. Spry doesn't have to worry about being suicidal anymore. You know, guys, let me explain something to you. It's very important that before you call 911 that you understand what you're doing and that you're involving the police into your life. And even if you call, let's say, for instance, you get into an argument with your spouse. This happens all the time here where we live. If you get into an argument with your spouse and somebody hits somebody, right, and somebody calls up, either the husband calls up or the wife calls up and says, my wife hit me or my husband hit me, where we live, when that happens, it doesn't matter if you call and try to cancel the 911 phone call. Let's say the wife makes it up or the husband makes it up. And the husband calls back, well, nothing really happened. We're canceling the phone call. It doesn't matter. 911 is required by law to show up because somebody could be holding a gun to your head telling the police not to come. So they have to show up no matter what. You cannot cancel a 911 phone call where we live. Now, if it's different in your state, I don't know. Check your legal jurisdiction on that. So you have to be very, very careful when you call 911, especially if you tell them that your husband has a gun, because they'll ask you immediately, is he armed? And well, he may have had a gun by the bedside stand. Who knows? Chances are he'd come off his Prozac or his Zoloft or his Xanax or something, and he was basically having a hard time on withdrawals. You don't know. Could have been really depressed from aspartame poisoning. Could be depressed because he had cancer. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? I mean, he could have found out that his wife was having an affair or the IRS was about to seize everything. You don't know what was going on, but the guy ends up having the police come in full tactical gear, and they don't just shoot him one time to try to whatever he's doing. They unload on him. I guess there must have been two or three guys. They just start dumping bullets at him. And the sad part about this is not an isolated event. So before you call 911, you better darn sure understand that somebody's going to be coming quick and they're going to be armed. And on top of that, in Polk County, it doesn't matter if they get there and the entire incident is completely subdued. Somebody is going to jail for domestic violence. That's the policy, because the sheriff's department had enough of somebody saying, well, we got it resolved before you guys got here. Nope, somebody's going to jail. So in this county, no matter what happens, somebody's going to jail. And I can guarantee you that has slowed down the amount of phone calls to 911 where we live. What do you think about all this, Oz?
Oh, yeah, you're spot on with that, because I actually had that discussion with Carlton, who's the sheriff I know here locally, and he said that too. I mean, that's their policy. If they get a call in, they get a dispatch out for domestic violence, somebody's going to jail, because it was so bad. I think it was like 15 or 20 years ago they started doing that, because it was so bad, because that's exactly right. People would get in these drunken arguments, couples would get in these arguments, everybody's yelling and cussing, 15, 20 minutes later, everything's calmed back down. The police show up. Oh, sorry, we got everything resolved. Sorry to waste your time. And the problem is, okay, that happens once or twice, but when you start having the same adults that act like children because they can't handle the way their emotions are, and they do it repeatedly every weekend, eventually you get to a point where, okay, somebody's going to jail. And the problem is now, with the amount of prescription drugs everybody's on, there's an article I was reading the other day with award-winning investigative journalist Kelly Patricia O'Mara. She wrote a book called Psyched Out, How Psychiatry Sells
Austin,
Mental Illness.
Austin, I can't hear you. Todd, can you hear Austin? Okay, he's breaking up at my end.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I've got no signal here.
Todd, okay, you can't hear me at all.
Okay, because Austin, you were breaking up real bad. I couldn't hear anything on my end. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Go ahead, I got you back now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I do, yes, go ahead.
Okay. In the book by Kelly Patricia O'Mara, she basically went into detail about how tens of millions of Americans have been treated with problems they don't have. She goes on there to state that about 70% of Americans now are on some type of SSRI, yet majority of them have never actually suffered from major depressive disorders. And that's what we've talked about before as far as with pharmaceutical drugs. On to other story. This is interesting. I thought this was a really interesting article right now because it was a big, almost smear piece on Apple. It was from the Daily Mail. And it goes on, it says, whose side are you on? Apple refuses court order to unlock dead Islamic terrorist iPhone found after husband and wife San Bernardino attack. And it goes into here. Basically what happened was a U.S. magistrate judge has now ordered Apple to help the FBI bypass the passcode on the shooter Saeed Farouk's iPhone. Now, the issue that's going on with this here is in 2014, Apple updated their iPhone operating system and required that the phone can only be locked or unlocked by a passcode that only the user knows. And as most people know with these things, if you keep pushing the wrong passcode in repeatedly, it'll eventually break down as a safety precaution and deletes everything off of it. Now, the CEO of Apple has said that the U.S. government order would undermine encryption by using specialized software to create an essential back door that would be compared to a master key capable of opening hundreds of millions of locks. He said, in the wrong hands, this software would have had the potential to unlock any iPhone in someone's possession. The FBI may use different words to describe this tool, but make no mistake, building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor. And while the government may argue this use would be limited to this case, there is no guarantee such control. It's been a big issue lately, apparently, about this whole thing. They can't get into this guy's iPhone that supposedly did the Islam terrorist attack shooting in San Bernardino. We got that. Now what they're saying is they're giving a court order to Apple to unlock this iPhone because they have the technology and they can build the software to do that. However, they can't do it themselves. The problem with doing this, guys, is this is further. They're using this again as another excuse to further invade our rights and our privacy. Apple did this for a reason. They specifically had these encryptions for a reason, so you couldn't do exactly what the FBI is trying to do. And they're trying to use it as an excuse because it's a terrorist cell phone. I have news for them. Instead of trying to hack into people's iPhones to figure out the back end of a case, how about you stop letting known terrorists in the United States, or you start vetting people before you let them in the United States to make sure they're not known terrorists? That seems like it's a lot easier than invading 300-plus million Americans' phones by hacking into their iPhones for absolutely no reason. And the CEO of Apple, I'm really quite glad he's being this stubborn about this, because he's absolutely right. If he built a master key to crack this with FBI, I can guarantee you 100% it will not stop there, and it will spread to any time the FBI wants to go into somebody's phone, they'll manually use this key to do so. What do you think about that, Deb?
Well, I think they can do it remotely also. And see, that's the problem I have. Now, what I think he should do in this particular case, I don't believe for one second that Apple has to build a system to go into this phone.
I think they already have it.
They've already got a back door. I think what they need to do is go ahead and open this guy's phone up and download all the information off the phone with the FBI present and not give them the passcodes or the keys to get in. I think there's no problem with that at all. I think they should do that in this particular case since people were murdered. But the problem is, giving the FBI additional information on how to crack Apple's back cell phones is nonsense. Again, apparently they've run into some problem with these latest encryption techniques on these 014 phones, and they can't get them open properly or quickly enough with their spying that they're doing, or else they wouldn't be asking for this technology. Otherwise, they would have already developed this technology. I've got to give Apple's kudos, dude. I mean, if they're that strong as far as from an encryption standpoint, it's a pretty doggone good phone. You can't get into it like that. Because these FBI, these people have some serious, serious computer hackers that work for them that should be able to open that phone up. But if they can't open it up, Mama put that thing together right. Okay, I mean, there's no doubt about that. Let me read you this next article. Danish government now has opened the door for potential migrant sex offenders to work with children. This is from Paul Watson. Refugees may not be required to prove they haven't been convicted of sex crimes. So in other words, if they want to work in a nursery or in a church or in a mosque and they want to watch do the Sunday school or whatever they want to do, I guess they're kind of like Roman Catholic priests, so they can just be pedophiles, whoever they want to be pedophiles with. In a disturbing development, the Danish government is set to drop a requirement that newly arrived migrants prove they are not sex offenders in order to allow refugees to work with children in nurseries and daycare centers. I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, we have seen this repeatedly in the United States, even in churches, that the churches are now running background checks on everybody who are working with children because these people are bringing in pedophiles who are raping these young kids. And we already know that these Muslims, many of these people have a propensity to want to have sex with little boys that are 2 and 3 years of age. I mean, are you kidding me? This is just absolutely nuts that they're actually doing. Of course, the Danes are nuts anyhow. It's all about freedom of sex, freedom of everything over there. And they're going to learn. They're going to get a craw full of it when their entire country has become Muslim and they go under Sharia law and everything they thought they had freedom with is taken away from them and their women are being raped in the streets and being required to cover up with burqas. When all this stuff happens, they're going to understand what reality is and what life really is. Here's another article from Blacklisted News. Rancher Cliven Bundy is set to stay behind bars. A federal judge says Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy should stay behind bars because he's a danger to the community and a risk for failing to show up for future court dates. U.S. Magistrate Judge Janice Stewart ruled Tuesday that Bundy shouldn't be released ahead of the trial. I guess that means no parole. That is likely the last the government will see of him. Bundy's charges stem from an armed 2014 standoff with federal officials trying to round up cattle grazing illegally near his ranch northeast of Las Vegas. Okay, this is exactly what we talked about yesterday with gun control and gun confiscation. They're not going to go door-to-door taking your guns away. They're going to pass laws, more laws, more laws, more laws. They're going to send you letters, and they're going to send you that you're in violation of these, and they're going to issue these warrants for you. And whether or not the warrant is served or not served, it doesn't make a difference. They're probably not going to come to the house. They're going to wait until they get you on a traffic stop somewhere. You're going to run a red light, and they're going to pull you over. They're going to seize an outstanding warrant. They're going to buckle you up or handcuff you and take you to jail right there on the spot. I remember years ago, I had a guy who bounced a bunch of checks to me. I was in the thousands of dollars of checks. And I took every one of the checks down to the state attorney's office. And Austin, you don't even know about this. This happened back in the 80s before you were born. And the guy, I'm not going to mention any names. It's a long time ago. And so what happened is he bounced all of these checks. So finally, I just took them all down to the state attorney's office. And I just filed them all. And said, okay, guys, the guy's passing bad checks. And so they ended up filing a warrant for him, Austin, and they never contacted him. They never contacted him. Finally, like 2 or 3 years later, he finally pays me the money he owes me. And a couple of years after that, he calls me up from jail and says, you know, I've been arrested. I got a traffic ticket, and I've been arrested. I'm in jail handcuffed down here. And then the sheriff was, or whoever the deputy was in charge, he's talking to me. And I said, well, he did pay these warrants. And I said, I called you guys and told you, but it got caught up in the paperwork where they didn't process it properly. And I said, these bills have been paid, but it was years ago. So that's how they're planning on doing it, Austin. You mentioned that to me yesterday. That's the only thing that makes any sense because it's the only thing that won't require huge amounts of manpower. Because if everybody has these outstanding warrants and they get picked up one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, pretty soon everybody else just start giving their guns away saying, well, it's not worth the issue of getting locked up, being put in jail like Cliven Bundy with no bail being posted. What do you think, son?
Well, you're spot on with that because I've done more and more research about these tag cameras that they're using now. These basically, they're called LPRs, they're license plate readers, and they're putting them not just on cop cars, they're putting them at entrances of towns, they're putting them by police stations, they're putting them by railroad tracks, they're putting them all over the place, now all over the country. And this is interesting, Pennsylvania now has come out and will be the third state in the country to do do away with vehicle registration stickers. You know, your little decal you pay your $40, $50, $60 a year for, you put your new decal on there. Pennsylvania DOT secretary reveals the real reason states are getting a registration ticket. This is what she said. Law enforcement will be able to do a much wider capture of license plates than they could the old-fashioned way when they physically had to look at them and read them. The new LPRs will do all that for them. And you're spot on. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to start issuing fines out. They'll start issuing subpoenas. They'll start issuing notices to appear in court. When you don't show up, when you don't respond, they're going to issue a warrant. And what's going to happen is a few more years down the road when these LPRs are all over the place, they're going to start putting them in toll booths. They'll put them everywhere. Everybody has to drive. Eventually, at some point in your life, unless you're Amish and you can take a horse, which if you do that, by all means, that's awesome. I really wish I could live that way, quite frankly, because it's a lot simpler. But majority of people don't. Everybody has to drive at a certain point in time, and that's what they're going to start doing. So as soon as your tag goes through something, it's going to flag it, and it's going to say, there's an outstanding warrant for John Doe. He's got three AR-15s in his possession that he has not turned in yet. And what's going to happen is they're going to drop a slew of cop cars on you in the middle of nowhere for no reason at all. You're just going to get pulled over. 10, 15, 20 cop cars, MRAPs. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. It doesn't matter if you have a handgun in your car or not. And more than likely what they'll do, and I don't wish this on anybody, and I really hope this doesn't happen, but from what I've seen up in Oregon and a lot of these other places with Waco, Texas, and the way ATF operates all the time, they'll use a couple of these incidences. They'll get air coverage on it, and they'll basically assassinate the person on the side of the road and say, he had firearms in his possession. They had not turned in. He drew down on us, so we executed him in the middle of the road. They start doing that on national television, they're only going to have to do that a few times before the majority of Americans are going to buckle in and go turn in most of their firearms. And that's just the truth. I can't be any more honest than that.
Well, you kind of hope that we wouldn't give our Second Amendment rights that quickly, but you probably are right, because that's exactly what happened to the person up there in Oregon. He had his hands up in the air. He obviously took a bullet to his left hip. He reached down to grab his hip where the bullet just went in. They said he was going for the gun, and they just unloaded on him. And so it's sad, but you're right. When they start assassinating people and killing people, you know, and saying they went for the gun, most people are going to say, you know, it's just not worth all of this. We're going to go ahead and let the boot of tyranny, you know, go across our throat and hope they don't kill us with it. Guys, yep. This is the subtle nature of these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Frankists, Luciferians that are involved with all of this stuff. These guys don't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. It's a 40-year, 50-year, 100-year plan. They go from generation to generation to generation, pushing this, until they can finally get the entire world subdued underneath the one world order, underneath the Luciferian state. And even when we get under a one world government, they're not going to be able to bring in a Luciferian state immediately. It'll probably take another 40, 50, 100 years to get that done. That's just how they work. That's what they do. It's a generational plan by the decades and by the centuries, and that's why it's always so subtle. I mean, it took 100 years to bring the United States to its knees now with the Federal Reserve Bank, 103 years from 1913. And now look at the indebted nature of the United States. We used to be the largest creditor country in the world, and within 100 years, we became the largest debtor country in the world with literally hundreds of trillions of dollars in outstanding debt because we borrowed money that we did not need to borrow from a bank that did not need to be in charge. And that's what happened. Here's another interesting thing about cheese. This is really interesting. 100% pure Parmesan products found to contain either no Parmesan at all or additives of wood or cheaper cheeses. This is, again, from Blacklisted News. It said that one source of the most basic functions of government is to make sure our food's pure. And it says in the case of Castle, its president is expected to plead guilty this month to criminal charges. It is still unclear how the situation could have allowed it to get so bad. Bloomberg ran its own test on 100% graded Parmesan products and easily found fraud. It found that essential everyday 100% graded Parmesan cheese from Jewel Osco was 8.8% wood fiber.
Cool.
While Walmart stores, great value, 100% graded Parmesan, registered 7.8% wood fiber. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean,
wow.
Think about what I'm saying. See, this is why I say to you guys, this stuff was probably coming out of China, to be honest with you. And they had no idea what they were putting in it. This is why Health Masters manufacturers, we control our own manufacturing process.
I have inspected thoroughly the manufacturing facilities that we use. I have videotapes of them. I look at all of what they do, all the raw material, everything they do. Everything's processed and tested for everything before we go into a Health Masters product. That's why when people take our vitamins, they go, wow, I really feel a difference. When I take these other vitamins, I don't feel any difference. In fact, I feel kind of worse. And it's the truth. When you have a super high quality product in a cellulose capsule that's been tested over and over and over again for quality control, and you know exactly what's in it, you get a really high result. It's like with Dave Hodges, you know, he had his knees were messed up. He went on our healthy joint protocol. Now his knees are doing great. Doug Hagman went on our healthy blood sugar protocol. Now his blood sugar is doing great. The thing is, if you do the right supplements, if you do the right products, if you put the right nutrients into the supplements, it makes everything very, very, very easy, and you feel great. That's why Health Masters does what it does. In fact, the show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. You can sign up for a free newsletter by going to healthmasters.com, or you can just call at 1-800-726-1834. We thank you for your support, and we appreciate you guys. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, it's interesting. I wanted to touch on what you were saying, too, with the elite and the way they do this in 30, 40, 50-year increments. I don't personally think a lot of our Second Amendment rights are going to be stripped away immediately. I want to clarify that. I don't think this is going to start happening next week, next year, or even the next couple years. This is going to be a very, very, very slow erosion. Here's why. Dad's generation from the 50s and 60s is pretty hard and pretty old school still. They believe in the old America, the Constitution. That generation will never let that happen. My generation now is a large, large percentage of Iraq and Afghanistan vets who are extremely battle-hardened, who would put up an incredibly nasty fight if something like that happened. However, this second generation that's coming up behind us are a bunch of little pansies. And I'm sorry, if you're from that generation, I'm sorry. I've been around you guys. Majority of you are really soft as far as when it comes to the kids that are growing up now. Everything's on their phone. Everything's on their internet. Everything's on their video game. Nobody knows how to communicate with much of anything. Nobody knows how to work. Now, there may be an exception with a few of you. That's awesome. I applaud you. The generation that's coming up behind that, oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I don't even have anything to say about that. So what's going to happen is as our generation slowly start to phase out, this newer generation is going to start coming in. Here's what everybody's played Monopoly before, right? Everybody loves Monopoly. You have tons of cash. You get to buy hotels. You get to try and monopolize the board. Awesome game. It's fun. Okay. The newest one now that has come out is called Ultimate Banking Monopoly. And as it shows on the game's cover, it is completely cashless. And in bold letters at the bottom, it says, own it all. It's completely cashless Monopoly. Now, I showed this to one of the guys that's working in the back, and he's like, that'd be horrible to play. There's no cash. There's nothing to play with. I'm like, exactly. That's the exact same thing I said. I said, but show this to the generation the next 10, 15, 20 years coming up behind us, and they're going to say, oh, that's awesome. I don't have to count cash because, quite frankly, I don't even know how to count because of the Common Core education that I've been indoctrinated into. So it's easier. Just use a calculator and a credit card, and we'll play Monopoly that way. They're slowly phasing out the cash. They're slowly trying to phase out the guns. They're slowly trying to phase out our rights. Just now, this got released from the Washington Post. Potential future Federal Reserve Chairman Larry Summers has now called for the $100 bill to be phased out of circulation in the United States, becoming the latest prominent voice to advocate the elimination of cash. The Washington Post entitled, "It's Time to Kill the $100 Bill." He says in here, for the World Bank is calling for basically no more printing of new high denomination notes in the name of stopping crime and corruption. There you go again, guys. The crime, corruption, terrorism, it's all in the name of security. More specifically, Summers wants to do away with all $100 bills and has even said on eliminating lower denominations. And I quote, a global agreement to stop issuing notes worth more than, say, $50 or $100. Summers also hails the ECB's recent move to scrap the 500 euro bill and calls for others to follow suit. I brought that up a couple weeks ago. They're trying to get rid of the $500 euro bill now. And what's interesting is if they are able to push this, remember, for central bankers, all this modest proposal will do is make it easier to unleash the negative interest rates that we've talked about, the bail-ins where they pull money out of your account. And here's why. Recall that roughly that of the $1.4 trillion, somewhere around there, in total U.S. currency circulation, on paper right now, there is only $1.2 trillion, and excuse me, there's $1.2 trillion is in $100 bills. There's only about 0.3 to 0.4 trillion that are smaller yields. So if you eliminate those $100 bills, suddenly there's nowhere to hide from those negative interest rates and banking deposits that they want to start doing. That's where it's going. And eventually you phase out the 50s, then you phase out the 20s. Then you say, this is useless. We have small currency. It doesn't work anymore. Everybody needs to be on credit cards. Once it goes that way, then say the credit cards are obsolete. That's old school. It's from the 90s. You need to get a chip in your arm. Make it simple. Do it now. Take the mark of the beast and be a good little slave. That's the way it's going.
Well, no, you take out the hundreds and you take out the 20s and you take out the 10s. Now you got $5 bills, so you could just say, we're going to allow you to have things like, if you want to buy gas, you can pay $20 for gas, or you can have $20 for this or $20 for that, or but anything else, we're done. We're not going to, you know, nobody's going to be going in and buying a car for, you know, with $5 bills.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to have $500 bills in the United States, $1,000 bills, $10,000 bills. I mean, it's way before the Federal Reserve decided to come in and start taking everything over, and they were able to actually move money between banks that way much more efficiently. And so it's crazy. You can still see some of the, in fact, I think they even had a $1 million bill. And so it's crazy to me that now they, well, it's just what it is. It's, again, we're not going to have hundreds anymore. We're going to let you guys go 5 or 6 or 7 years with no hundreds, and then we'll let you go 5 or 6 to 50 without any 50s, and then 20 years, now 25 from years now, we'll just go ahead and get rid of the cash altogether so you don't use it much anymore anyhow. But you're right, it's just very, very subtle. Here's another interesting article. EU expecting a flood of spring migrants after 91,671 entered Germany in January. This is through Gateway Pundit. Unbelievable. Wow. Germany, a country of 80 million, received over 1 million migrants and unvetted refugees in 2015. And guys, that is an estimate. Okay, that is an estimate. They're expecting another 1 million migrants this year. I got news for you. There's 8 million in the pipeline. 8 million more in the pipeline, all trying to get to Germany. And now Germany is closing some of its borders, but they're still sneaking in and getting through the people. In 5 to 7 years, the migrants will be able to bring in their family members, which will be probably another 10 or 12 people per person. The third world migrants are already causing massive problems. A 19-year-old Afghan migrant sexually assaulted 4 girls between the ages of 11 and 13 at an indoor swimming pool. He was later released by German officials. I would have put him on a plane back to Afghanistan. That's what I would have done with him, or put him in jail. The European Union is expecting a swarm of spring migrants, the Washington Post reported, after an unparalleled tide of asylum seekers washed onto European shores last summer and fall. The continent's leaders vowed to use their collective calm of winter to bring order to a process marked by chaos. Angela Merkel is a traitor to Germany. I think she needs to be tried. And if she's found guilty of this, I think she needs to be hung if they still have corporal punishment in Germany. I mean, what she has done to the German people and to Europe by telling all the... See, you guys haven't been over there. A lot of you haven't. I've been there a bunch because my family lives there, and we always try to go visit the family as much as we can because we get to fly free because we got airline points, right? And so we get to fly over there for free. And what's interesting about this is, you know, I've been to the relatives. I've been all over the place, and I've watched the Germany. I've been going over there since 1976 for 40 years, and I've watched it just gradually deteriorate. And now you go to these different parts of Germany, and every single person who's working in these convenience stores, there aren't any more Germans in there. They're all Muslims, and you know they're all Arabs, and you know it's what's happened to the country, and now it's happening to all of the other countries in Europe too. It's just a systematic destruction of Europe and the culture of Europe because these people who run the planet, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, they want to have the ability to control everybody because they want to have the ability to destroy culture. They don't want you being a German or being an American or being a Frenchman. They don't want any of that. They don't want you having a national identity. They want you to follow the state. The most important thing will be the state. I'm part of the one world planetary group of people that live here. I don't have a country. We're all together in unison. And, you know, in theory, that may sound fun for the communists to have stuff like that, but when you don't have any national pride and you have no respect for your heritage or your background, Austin, what are you supposed to leave to your children? How are you supposed to explain all this to your kids? How are you supposed to talk to about where granddaddy came from? I mean, but that's their goal. Their goal is to bring us into a one-world Luciferian state, son.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, and this invasion's also bringing in a whole slew of people that have absolutely nothing but wanting to bring death and destruction to non-Muslims. I know a lot of people saw that machete attack up in Columbus, Ohio, last week. And what's interesting about that is I kept reading more and more about it, and nobody would report on what actually – it kept saying a lone wolf attack, this and that. But finally now people started saying – they started releasing that this guy – yelled Alu Kabar, or whatever you pronounce that, their little Muslim saying they like to do before they kill people, right before he yanked a machete out and started hacking at people. I mean, that's what he did. He started yelling that and wielded a machete. That's not normal behavior in society. And then he even said after the restaurant worker fought the guy off with a metal baseball bat after he mauled basically multiple people with a machete, he fled in his white truck. When police forced him to the side of the road, Sergeant Rich Weiner told the station he lunged over the hood of his vehicle, machete in hand, trying to kill the cop with a machete. He was tasered, did not stop, still got back up. The police basically fired on him and killed him. And what's interesting is the mainstream media don't want to report all this. They don't want to report that this guy was a devout Muslim and yelled Allah Kabar before he pulled out a machete and started hacking on people that were in a restaurant just eating. These weren't militant people. They weren't outside protesting. They didn't have weapons. They weren't posing any type of threat. They were eating dinner, and he ran in with a machete. These are the type of people that are coming into America with this whole group. Those are the kind of people that are going into Europe with that group. These are the kind of people we don't really need here in America. They don't produce anything positive. If they want to come here and contribute positive to society and integrate into America and help us make America greater, I'm 100% all about it. Do it legally. You're good to go. But this kind of behavior, no. I want none of this in my country. I want none of this in my state. It's egregious to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was listening to another commentator on TV last night. They were saying that it's become wearisome as far as having to deal with this negative news, this constant negative stuff all of the time. And that's why I was like starting off the shows that we do with prayer, because I want people to realize that there's hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And without Christ and without God in our life, you know, it just becomes extremely depressing having to face this mess all the time. And then when you realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and all things are possible to him who believes, when you understand all of that, then you begin to realize very quickly that you can have hope in your future and hope for your children. But guys, we've got to understand what's going on around us if we're going to take hope for change and to believe God for change, and we have to know what to pray for. Plus, there's certain types of behavioral things that we simply cannot tolerate. If we allow people to come on and do things to us on an ongoing basis that are bad, and we think it's okay, how's that going to work for us 20 years from now? Here's an interesting article. This is from Gateway Pundit again. It says, "Wow, Trump invites supporters on stage for handling a protester. The crowd erupts when one says he's a veteran. You can't plan something like this. At a Trump rally in Augusta, South Carolina on Tuesday, Donald Trump was interrupted by a protester who was screaming profanities and raising his middle finger to the crowd. Two Trump supporters took action against the radical, obscene protester, and Mr. Trump called them up on the stage to share a few words. The crowd erupted when one of the men told the audience that he was an Iraqi war veteran." I mean, so I guess they threw this guy out, and they got to go on the stage and talk to Trump in front of everybody. You know, it's like the guy is just, everything he does comes back that people just love him. I mean, and I was watching Pat Robertson last night on the 700 Club, and Pat is probably in his mid-80s now. And back in the 90s, he used to really, really preach a lot of truth and really, really had a good show. But here now, 25 years later, you know, I watch the shows that he does now. All he was doing last night was promoting Cruz and slamming Donald Trump. And then he said something very interesting. He said, Donald Trump saying, "Well, you're a liar and you're a liar and you're a liar." He says, "You shouldn't be talking like about this about with fellow Republicans, blah, blah, blah." And then it wasn't awesome. It wasn't 5 minutes later, Pat Robertson starts talking about how everybody's a liar in Washington, D.C. He just told Trump not to call people liars. And then he turned around and said that they're a bunch of liars. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I thought to myself, does he not get what he just did? And apparently he does not. But apparently, he's a total Cruz supporter. He had Cruz's dad on the show last night, totally supporting Ted Cruz. I mean, I got a news flash for you guys. Ted Cruz was born in Canada, all right? He's not an American citizen. He's not even eligible to vote. And then Pat Roberts has started saying, well, Donald Trump's threatening to sue him now because he's not an American citizen. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what happened. Ted Cruz was lying about Donald, would not stop lying about Donald, and Donald said, you're going to have to apologize to me for all this lying you're saying about me, or I'm going to sue you for not being a citizen. Pat Robertson didn't say one thing about any of that. Now,
I know Pat Roberts has done a lot of good, and I've watched this so many, many times, but the thing about it is he's not living in some type of reality anymore. He thinks this is what it was back in the 40s or the 50s, and quite frankly, it's not. This is not happy-happy anymore, and we're not going to get the same old good old boy politics going on in Washington, D.C., and have any kind of change. It's simply not going to happen, Austin. What's your next story?
No, you're spot on about that. I had read that, too, because Cruz basically just kept running his mouth all the time, coming up with just these insane things about, like, oh, yeah, Trump doesn't like this, and he's against this, and he's pro-choice, and he's anti-Second Amendment, and come up with all these bogus statements that made no sense. And, yeah, that's Trump finally had enough of it. This is interesting now. This just happened this week. Russia bans all U.S. corn and soy imports due to GMO contamination. Remember, we reported on this last week that they stopped and blocked the whole shipment that was coming in. No. They're done blocking stuff now. Russian food safety regulator Razin Holzender just announced a complete ban starting February 15th on all U.S. corn and all U.S. soy imports. This is a huge blow to organic and GM farmers alike. Though the ban is instated due to genetically modified crops, it's still all the way across the board. It says though the total exports to Russia from the U.S. are small, totaling around $157 million in recent years, with Russia importing about 4.7 metric tons of U.S. corn, the ban may still hurt U.S. farmers. However, I cannot blame Russia anymore. They don't want to feed their population, their growing healthy population, this garbage. And I mean, for them to come out that blatantly now and say we're banning all U.S. corn and soy, period, no exceptions, nothing. We're not even going to regulate it. It's banned, period. That's a pretty strong statement for them to do, but quite frankly, I can't blame them. I think they've had enough of this total nonsense food that we keep making over here that's just garbage glyphosate.
I agree 100%. Here's another story. This is crazy. This is from Fox News. U.S. Marshals have now begun arresting people for not paying their federal student loans. Believe it or not, the U.S. Marshals Service in Houston is arresting people for not paying their outstanding federal student loans. Paul Acker says he was arrested at his home last week for a $1,500 federal student loan he received in 1987. He says seven deputy U.S. Marshals showed up at his home with guns and took him to the federal court where he had to sign a payment plan for the 29-year-old student loans. Congressman Gene Green says the federal government is now using private debt collectors to go after those who owe student loans. Green says as a result, those attorneys and debt collectors are getting judgments in federal court and asking judges to use the U.S. Marshals Service to arrest those who have failed to pay their federal student loans. You and I have said this over and over and over, Austin. All the student loans were designed to do is to put people into debt slavery and the bondage. And now they're showing that they're willing to have the police come in and arrest you in your home for not paying student loans. Unbelievable.
Well, my question is, when you get arrested and you go to jail, you're in jail. You can't work. You can't produce. You can't make any more money. How can you possibly pay your student loans any more than you're already not paying them if you're in jail? That's what doesn't make any sense about this. It's like debtor's jail. Okay, well, basically, we're going to throw you in jail now because you can't pay student loans. Here's a news flash for you guys about the student loans. They're not what you think they are. Almost 71% of bachelor's degree recipient graduates graduate with a student loan now. 71%. And those graduated in 2005, all of last year, there was an average debt for each student of about $35,000 per student with student loans. Guys, we've talked about this repeatedly, so I'm not going to go into a ton of detail on it again, but please stay out of debt with these student loans. You can't bankrupt them. You can't drop them. You can't get away from them. They're there forever, period. I think there's like two ways you can get out of them. If you become so debilitated, injured that you cannot work and you can prove to the state that you're no longer viable as basically a person that can work, your full disability. And there's one other reason, but it's both of them are next to impossible. And if that does happen, you have other way worse problems in your life than student loans anyways. But that's what these were designed to do. That's why they have these massive high interest rates that you can't maintain. They can't do anything with this stuff except produce more debt with it. Stay out of debt. the best you can. If you have to get a small student loan, try and pay it off by that year. We have a girl working for us in the back, and she's going to a private school that's pretty expensive. She got a pretty good scholarship, but she still needs some more money. And what she's doing is she's basically getting a student loan, a small one that's like $4,900, and then she's going to work through the summer and try and chop it all down before the next semester starts, and she has to get the same amount. She's basically, the most she's going to graduate with a bachelor's degree is going to be around $6,000 or $7,000 in debt, which is very, very easily be able to pay off if you manage your finances correctly when you get out of college.
Well, always remember this, guys. This is so important. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the local state colleges, the local community colleges, as long as they're fully accredited, which they would be if they're through your state. There's nothing wrong with going to a community college and living at home, getting an AA degree, transferring that to a four-year state school. If you have one local to you, you can actually stay at home and still go to that school. Harrison started school when he was 15 years old. He's now 16. He'll be 17 in April, my second son. And he now has 58 collegiate hours completed at the age of 16. He'll be 17. And he'll be able to finish over 100 hours for free tuition, because it's part of the dual enrollment program here in Florida, for a bachelor's degree. By the time he's 18 years old, he'll be graduating with a bachelor's degree and a high school diploma pretty much at the same time. And what's interesting about this is a lot of states offer the same thing. The problem that you're going to run into is the Common Core education is so awful now, it won't allow these kids to pass the college entrance exams. See, that's why we homeschooled Austin and Harrison. Austin also passed his college entrance exams at 14 and started school when he was 14 years old. And at 15, he was full-time over at Southeastern in Lakeland. And so we practice this. We practice what we preach, because if you guys can just get out of your bachelor's degree with no debt, you're going to be so much better off. And now what they don't tell you too, Austin, 71% of these failed folks have student loans who gets their bachelor's degree. 90% of the people who get bachelor's degrees never even use the degree at all in their jobs unless they are engineers, nurses, doctors, or attorneys, or teachers. They don't even use those degrees. Their degrees were totally useless, and they end up basically having this horrible amount of debt for what? Because they got to go to class, you know, for 3 or 4 years and take classes that were meaningless to them for their future? Not a good idea. Here's another article. U.S. military burn pits on chemical weapons facilities have been tied now to soldiers' illnesses. Imagine that. The Guardian. Though the U.S. government disputes it, of course they will, new evidence shows a link between service in Iraq and Afghanistan and cancers and untreatable bronchial illnesses. Evidence gathered in a new book out Tuesday suggests a possible link between his illness and his service. This service, based on clusters of familiar cases, scientific studies, and expert opinions, author Joseph Hickman proposes in the burn pits is the poisoning of American soldiers that U.S. service members in Iraq and Afghanistan have confronted more than one expected enemy that had followed them home. Now, here's what people don't understand. This is so important. Let's say you're spraying bug spray, some toxic bug spray, and you got it in your house, and you walk in the room and you smell it. Okay, those are molecules of that bug spray that are still in the atmosphere. When you smell it, means it goes down through your nasal passages into your lungs, and it's dispersed through your lungs, through your blood, throughout your body. It poisons you systemically because you're smelling it. That's why so many people, when they spray this stuff in your houses, they're using double can respirator masks so they don't breathe it in. If you could smell it, it's going in your blood. That's just the way it works. I mean, even if you're spraying wasp spray or something, make sure you're wearing rubber gloves, do it outside, and hold your breath while you're doing this stuff, and then walk away from that area. It's that poisonous. And not to mention, if you're burning chemical weapons or munitions dump, or you're burning all of this crazy stuff, and a lot of these guys are being poisoned by the uranium bullets they were using. Also, they were using these spent uranium bullets because they're so heavy they'd penetrate anything, and they're getting radioactive poisoning from that. Whole thing's just a mess, and a lot of it too now is a lot of these guys are being poisoned and have been poisoned by all the immunizations they received before they went there, and also by all the diet sodas they were given that were stored in hot containers. And a lot of the Gulf War illness was from the immunizations and from the aspartame poisoning these guys have, because a lot of the symptoms are identical to aspartame poisoning, which is methanol, which is paint thinner poisoning. Unbelievable mess. What do you think about that, Oz?
Oh, yeah, you're spot on with that, and that's the thing. I've talked to a lot of guys over there that have used a lot of those munitions, because that was very popular with the they would run on the M2 50 cal, the belt-fed, were basically the spent uranium 50 cal rounds. Instead of running a tungsten core, which is incredibly hard, very, very good penetrating round, they would run those, which are, I mean, even more devastating. But the problem is when you're around that and it starts hitting stuff, the bullets start exploding, you have depleted uranium everywhere that, like you just said, you're still breathing it. It's in the atmosphere, it's in the dust, there's the powder everywhere, and you're exposed to it regularly. There's a new article that just came out that got published in Emerging Infectious Diseases. This is interesting. This goes on to tell you exactly again why I tell everybody, get informed about getting vaccinated and vaccinating your children before you do it. Conducted by the CDC and the Florida public health officials, was published in Emerging Infectious Diseases on January 15th, revealed that the pertussis, which is the whooping cough, vaccine effectiveness among children attending preschool was estimated to be under 45%. Read that again. They said the effectiveness for the pertussis vaccine, the whooping cough vaccine, was under 45%. The average number of days from the last vaccination to the onset of pertussis symptoms in preschoolers was less than 22 months, which means the vaccine didn't even keep them vaccinated for 2 years. They said with 7 of the children in the study that had been vaccinated within the previous year, the vaccine did not even work to prevent them from contracting whooping cough within the previous year. To go on to tell you again why this stuff is so toxic, why you need to question everything that's being put in your body, especially when they tell you it's mandated.
You're absolutely right, Austin. Absolutely right. You have to question everything that goes into your body, especially when they're telling you that you have to do this. And that's why, I'll be honest with you, if I was a nurse and they told me that I had to receive all these immunizations in order to work in a hospital, I'd find another profession. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it because it's not worth the cost of your health. It's just there's too many people out there right now that are so sick, Austin, that they're deathly ill because they receive so many immunizations, so many chemicals, so many drugs. I mean, the average person at the age of 60 now takes 5 or more prescription drugs a day. I mean, that's like 60-something percent. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. That's what it is. And there's all kinds of poisonous compounds that you're buying over-the-counter, like Tylenol, which is one of the primary causes of liver failure in the United States, and yet nobody wants to talk about it. We've covered it on the show. I've written about it in my books. But acetaminophen is one of the primary causes of liver failure in the United States. And, in fact, it is the primary cause of liver transplants. I mean, it's that poisonous. Thousands of people have to have new livers every single year or die from a Tylenol poisoning. But they want to take our vitamins away, Austin. They want to take our guns away. Are you kidding me? But they don't want to take all these poisonous compacts off the shelf. Tylenol should have been removed many, many, many years ago, but it hasn't been. Here's another interesting article. The vets are suing the Defense Department for refusing to pay reenlistment bonuses. This is from all government. The California Army National Guard has conned thousands of soldiers into reenlisting and is trying to recover signing bonuses a decade, or still trying to recover signing bonuses a decade later, an Iraqi war veteran claims in court. In the class action lawsuit filed on Wednesday in federal court, Brian Stroder says the National Guard offers soldiers bonuses in order to reinflate its reserves, and the plaintiff class is the victims of one of the most egregious mass frauds in U.S. military history. Shortly after signing the reenlistment contracts in 2006, Stroder says he was sent to Iraq and had to finish out the terms of his deal with honor and even appeared on a National Guard magazine. 3 years later, the government sent him a letter saying he shouldn't have received an enlistment bonus because he changed his military occupational specialty while serving in Iraq. Stroher says that his military record shows he didn't change the classification records. The statute of limitations of his bonus expired years ago. He says defendants are attempting to recoup bonuses from more than 16,000 soldiers in similar positions. You know, Austin, that really bites. I mean, here you are going over there, dealing with all that nonsense, dealing with all that stuff that's going on over there. They promise you a military bonus for you and your family, and then they refuse to give it to you. What do you think about that?
That's egregious to me, the fact that they would even do that. I mean, it's bad enough. I mean, the thing is, I don't understand. They just print their own money. Federal Reserve just prints more money. You know, they just print it, print. Why don't they just print more money and at least give it to the guys that are putting their lives down to keep this country safe? I mean, that's ridiculous, man. I can't believe they're doing that.
Well, guys, we love you. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We try to be a comedy act half the time. We do a pretty good job anyhow with that. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. We'll be back tomorrow with a bunch of new information, and I'm going to decide on who we want to bring on. I think we're going to bring another guest on next Wednesday. I got to figure out who I want to pick. But we appreciate you guys. We love you. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. Write us an email or shoot us a phone call, 1-800-726-1834. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You guys have a blessed night.